It's What's the Buzz, our weekly chat with the New Zealand Drug Foundation.
This week we have the third installment of What's the Buzz, and I speak to Carly Mercier, who is the Drug Foundation's advocacy and policy manager. We're talking about the recent drug driving tests that are going to be implemented on New Zealand roads, as well as the open letter that was penned to the New Zealand government advocating for drugs to be treated as a health issue as opposed to a criminal issue. Firstly, I would like to look at the new drug driving policy that's going to be enforced. What will the actual test look like on the road?
Cool, yeah. So there's a new bill and it's before Select Committee at the moment, and they're asking for people to make submissions. So we're working on one at the moment. But at the moment, if you've got what the police can do is they can stop you if they have cause to suspect you might be impaired, and then they can ask you to do a compulsory impairment test. So you could, you'd have to sort of walk in a straight line and stand on one foot and touch your nose and some other things. If you are found to be impaired, they would then do a blood test to check whether you've got any drugs in your system, and if you did, you would get a criminal conviction most likely. So what they're proposing to do now is to introduce an oral saliva test. So they don't have to show cause to suspect you might be impaired. They can stop anyone and they can say, here, do this saliva test, which is a little machine which sort of probably swabs the inside of your mouth or wipes across your tongue, depending on the device they buy. And then if it can show presence of drugs, and if you got two positive tests in a row, you could get an infringement fee, which is basically a $200 fine. And that's very similar to what they currently do with alcohol. So what they're trying to do is bring it into line with alcohol, and they're trying to make it more of a deterrent, I guess, because the compulsory impairment test that we have at the moment is quite expensive, time-consuming. The police don't like to do it because it involves a lot of training, and so it doesn't deter people from driving under the influence of drugs, probably, whereas they think like a big glitzy, you know, a thing where they could do checkpoints and so on, and do, you know, multiple thousands of tests each year would be more likely to deter people and stop them driving under the influence.
Are you guys confident in the accuracy of these tests, the saliva tests?
No. this has been the major reason why they've taken so long to bring a saliva test regime into New Zealand, because other countries have had them for quite a few years now. They're not super accurate, though they are a lot better than they were. The problem with them is they can do false positives and false negatives. So you might have up to 1 in 20 people who get a test taken would show they had drugs in their system and they didn't, which is why they're asking people to do two tests before they give them an infringement fee. Also, there could be false negatives. So they might find, they might send you on your way even though you were in fact or had in fact recently used drugs. But the real problem with them is they don't show impairment. They just show the presence of a drug. Our drug driver law is all about you're not allowed to drive while impaired, whereas these tests show presence of the drug. You may have taken it some time ago and you may in fact not be impaired anymore, but it might still pick that up. So yeah, there are concerns around it. I think it's probably, it's got advantages to what we've got at the moment in that it will deter more people. So it should hopefully make our roads safer overall, but disadvantages in that it's not 100% accurate and may catch some people who ought not to be caught because they're not impaired. But the way they've done a good job, I think, of balancing those concerns by keeping the penalties relatively low and by ensuring that you don't end up with a criminal conviction if you've just got presence of the drug in your system. To get a criminal conviction, you'd actually have to still go through that existing compulsory impairment test and then get a blood test, which showed that you had a higher level of that drug in your system than just a trace. So, yeah, there's checks and balances in there to make sure it's not too bad, but from our point of view, it's an okay bill for the interim, but we wouldn't say it was a gold standard.
And for the purpose of serving as a deterrent.
And that is really big. I mean, none of us want to see people driving under the influence of drugs because they can be incredibly impairing, and often people don't realise how impairing they are. And, you know, we all want to be safe when we go out on the road. I mean, obviously alcohol remains our biggest issue on the roads, It's very impairing as a substance, and especially when you combine it with other drugs, it becomes lethal. So, you know, at a very fast rate. So, yeah, we want to be deterring people, but we also want to make sure that people aren't getting caught who didn't, in fact, use drugs recently and weren't, in fact, impaired. So it's kind of a balancing act, and they've done a reasonable job.
Now, I was under the impression that there would be some kind of limit system implemented.
Yeah, so what they're doing is they're going to set the devices that test your oral fluid, or saliva, as we call it in the real world. They'll set those devices so that they only catch, or they only register if you have more than a trace in your system. So if you had been in a car with other people smoking cannabis, for example, you shouldn't be picked up with that saliva test. And then if you end up doing the compulsory impairment test and then getting a blood test, there's limits in there which are new, which set a criminal threshold over which you would be liable for a criminal conviction. And there's big issues with that, because unlike with alcohol, it's really hard to set a limit because there's no direct correlation between what drug you took, when you took it, how much you took, and how impaired you are. With alcohol, we can say quite clearly over this limit, you're very likely to be impaired. It's way less straightforward with drugs. So they have made a valiant effort to put some numbers around 25 different drugs over which, you know, if you had those in your blood, you would get a criminal conviction. And I think they've done a reasonable effort given the science limitations, but it's still never going to be perfect, unfortunately.
Now, I feel like there's not a lot of information available regarding how long drugs will stay in your system. And obviously I can see this becoming problematic if someone perhaps partook the night before, the next morning, assuming it's out of their system, is on the road and gets caught with one of these tests. Is this something that the government's considering with this bill?
Yes, that was very top of mind for them. And I think that's why they've chosen a system whereby if you get this oral fluid test done, you wouldn't get a criminal conviction from it. You'd only get a fine, and it can't lead to a criminal conviction. So I think that's them trying to balance up the need to deter people and the need to catch people who are using drugs on the road who are impaired, but not to end up giving people criminal convictions who weren't in fact impaired. So if it was me, I wouldn't be driving within 24 hours of using a drug, just to be safe. And in fact, for some drugs, you might still be impaired, significant time after having used them anyway. So it's best to avoid driving. There's real issues around people who use quite heavily, because the more heavily you use some drugs, the longer they stay in your system. So cannabis, for example, if you were using it regularly every day, it might still come up in your saliva, you know, 2 or 3 days later, which is obviously a concern. all things to consider about when you get in a car.
Now, just a quick question. If cannabis were to hypothetically become legal, would it be treated the same way as alcohol on the roads, where you can have a little bit of it in your system, but there's a very clear limit as to what's too much?
Yes, I think it would, because the system that they're trying to put in here is actually trying to bring drugs in line with how we treat alcohol. So they've got a very low, so that when you do the saliva test, there's a low threshold limit under which you wouldn't get any kind of penalty. And then there's a limit in which you would get an infringement fee. And then if you're very impaired, you could potentially end up getting a criminal conviction, but only if you went through the impairment test rather than the saliva test route. So yes, that's what they're trying to do, and I think that would probably stay the same if cannabis was legal as well.
Now, I'd just like to shift and touch on the recent open letter that was submitted to Parliament regarding how drugs are treated in our criminal justice system. And so this was a call from 25 organisations advocating for drugs to be treated as a health issue as opposed to a criminal issue, and it was very quickly shut down by the Minister of Health, Andrew Little, who said that anything to do with changing drug laws will have to go through a referendum.
Which, when I first read his statements, I thought he's probably talking mostly about cannabis, because he's been very focused on the cannabis referendum. Obviously, last year we all voted on a really specific piece of drug law, which was around whether cannabis should be sold in shops, and it was a very close law. So I can sort of see where he's coming from if he thinks people should be voting again to decide whether that specific piece of law went through. But I do think there's a wider issue here, which is around how we treat all drugs. So how do we, you know, we think, I mean, the Drug Foundation's policy is that all drug use should be decriminalised. So if you're found with a small amount of any drug, you shouldn't get a criminal penalty for that, because it doesn't deter use. It doesn't stop people harming themselves with drugs, but it does often stop people, because of the stigma, seeking help or being able to access help. So there's no good reason for us to criminalise small you know, amounts of drugs, but there's a lot of reasons not to do it. One big one is, of course, the fact that people get criminal penalties which can stay with them for their whole lives, and they're completely out of proportion to the actual crime or offence of having used a drug. And so, yeah, we'd
and
like to see that.
Looking at case studies such as Portugal, we can see that decriminalisation is very effective in helping people who have substance problems.
Yes, so if you combine decriminalisation with really good investment in a health-based approach in terms of prevention, education, harm reduction and good treatment models, then you can have a huge impact on reducing drug harm. So, you know, Portugal is a brilliant example of that. Unfortunately, very few other countries have done it in such a comprehensive way, but lots of other countries have decriminalised certain drugs such as cannabis, or have sort of just stopped prosecuting drug offences, and it doesn't have an impact on the number of people who use. Like, the numbers of people who use do not go up, but the number of people who harm themselves can go down quite a lot if you also have those really good health interventions in place. So that's what we want to see here, and we want to have an overhaul of our Misuse of Drugs Act as soon as possible, because it's an old dinosaur of a thing. It's just full with you know, anachronisms, and things just make no sense anymore in the modern day. So we want to get rid of it entirely. And I think it's just a matter of time. We eventually have to do that piece of work. I don't know when we'll get it over the line, but at some point it has to happen. I mean, the government is also doing some good things in this area. So drug checking they've legalised. And they've also agreed that they'll have a look at the what they call the discretion clause in the Misuse of Drugs Act, which is that the police are allowed to decide whether or not they prosecute someone for possession. And since they made that clause a little bit stronger a couple of years ago in the hopes that it would stop police prosecuting, and it's only had a small impact on the number of...
And unfortunately, a clause like that makes things very subjective. Which
it does. I mean, it was already subjective, and they were basically saying, oh, here's another thing for the police to consider, and it is whether a health-based approach might be a better approach. But because it wasn't worded that strongly, it hasn't had the impact they hoped. And so they have actually agreed that they'll look at that and think about whether they can make that a bit stronger, and whether they can get the police to exercise their discretion more often not to prosecute, which is good. That could potentially have a bigger impact. But you know, the best thing would be to throw out the whole law and start again, because it's just
right. Because do you think that by saying any changes to our drug laws would have to go through a referendum is essentially a way of stifling any kind of progress, just because of, you know, the money it takes, and also like campaigning and all of that to pull a referendum through? And then I think also, because we saw with the cannabis referendum last year, having that not go through, to the surprise of many New Zealanders as well, having that not go through, it almost seems like a further setback for any changes in cannabis law, because now we're like, oh, that didn't go through, we're going to have to wait all this time before we can put it on the table again.
Yeah, I think that was a real shame. what we've seen overseas is that when you bring in a law to legalise cannabis, say, public opinion soon follows. So in America, for example, where they had really tight margins on their referendum to legalise, within a few years, everyone said it was a great thing. So there are two ways to do it. You could let the public lead through a referendum, or you could just lead through knowing it's the right thing. Especially the problem with cannabis as a law is that it does affect minorities worse, and so you in effect have a population voting on a minority issue, which is never going to get the right outcome for equity and human rights and so on. So, and for public health. So, yeah, personally, I'd rather we weren't going to go through another referendum.
This is The Wire, and that was What's the Buzz with the New Zealand Drug Foundation.
Why should you want to know?